It's bonus pod 259.
You enter the fridge shop. Ding-a-ling. It's a bit after closing time. You phoned ahead. You said, I can't get off work early today, but I just need a new fridge. Can I come to the shop after closing time around like 5:30, 6, something like that? And on the phone line, the manager just went, yes, we would be most happy to help. And you went, all right, okay, well, see you then. And now here you are in the fridge shop. It's just you. It said closed on the door, but you knew it would be left open for you, and you open the door, and now it's just you in a dimly lit showroom of fridges. And you go, hello, hi, it's me, Podbud. I called earlier. You said that I could come in today. I really appreciate that. I'm just looking for a fridge. I wonder if you can help me. Hello? Nothing special, just something that gets a job done. Hello? But no response. And you go, And so you decide, well, I'll just browse the fridges myself, I suppose. And you start on the left-hand side and you just walk along. And all the regular fridges are there, the sort of square kind of 80s Japanese-style fridges, and the more rounded kind of emulating the 50s kind of fridge, you know, the kind of Fallout 3 kind of shaped fridge. So got some of them, and adorning these fridges are fun little fridge magnets that the shop is clearly put on there to make the fridges feel more homely, trying to entice you into buying them. And they say things like, home is where the heart is, and ooh, I'm hungry. Let's see what we've got. ... And another piece of chocolate. Don't tell mum. And the diet starts tomorrow. And things like that. And you go along. Yeah, these are all fine. This is all not quite right. Not quite what I'm looking for. And you hear a hum in the corner. It's a fridge's hum. But in the midst of the humming is something different. You can hear almost sound like words. Come. You are invited. Make me bod. And you look at the source of this humming and you see a fridge alone in the dark corner of this shop, and there's light coming out of it because someone's left the door of it open just a little bit, which is always annoys you when they do that with fridges. And you, so you walk over to the sound and the light bursting through this cracked open door of the fridge. And you open the fridge door and you go, is someone in there? And you flood that part of the room with light from the fridge, and that stops. And you look around. Nothing. The fridge is empty except for a sticky note on the middle shelf. It's a lone yellow sticky note. And you look at it and you pick it up and it says, now you are the food. What? You look at it again. It says, now you are the food. And suddenly the whole room becomes bright with light. White, bright light. And you turn around. And instead of a room, you're now in a giant fridge. And you look up at Phil and Pierre, enormous, gargantuan, looking through a door at you. And Pierre says, anything in there? And Phil sees you and looks down and goes, just this. I think it'll do, though. And Phil's hand comes for you and plucks you by the head. And you go, and Phil pulls you up and drops you into his mouth. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
Lovely. Lovely. What do you think taste like?
A pod bud? Mm. Well, apparently human flesh tastes most similar to pork belly.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be like eating a little morsel of pork belly, which sounds fantastic. It was very worrying news when I found out that human flesh tastes like pork belly, because it's lovely.
Yeah, but what about all the little bones? It'd be like eating a bird made of pork belly with little light crunchy bones in.
Or maybe it'd be like eating soft shell crab if the bones are small enough and soft enough that you just kind of bite through it and you chew through it and it's fine.
I don't know. The skull. It'd be a bit of a tough customer.
But there are, what are the animals that you do eat whole with bones and all? I think maybe that's more of an Asian thing. What do we eat with the bones?
A little bird.
Oh, the Dutch eat those pickled fish bones and all, don't they?
Yes, I think.
Oh, no, they kind of suck the flesh off.
Mm. Very appetizing.
In Malaysia, we eat ikan bilis, which is these small, very small dried fish whole with the bones and everything. And they're all shriveled up and dried and salted. And you eat those whole. And those are lovely. But those bones are so brittle at that point and so small that you just turn them into powder in your mouth. You just... It's fine.
How many of those can you eat? Because the salt must really fuck you up.
Yeah, they're used mostly as a garnish.
Oh.
Yeah. Or like a little side thing. They're mostly with like nasi lemak, which is a national dish, which is like a sort of fatty coconut milky rice with sambal and chicken and then ikan bilis on the side with peanuts. Ikan bilis and peanuts is a classic snack.
It's such a crazy combo of things that is such a normal snack. If you said
dried fish and nuts.
Yeah, if you said to an English person, do you want some fish and peanuts just on the side? Like, sorry, what did you say? Yeah, just like
fish swimming in peanuts.
Some fish and some peanuts on the side. On the side.
On the side, just to kind of add some intrigue to the rice.
Yeah. You're just having your main meal, and then on the side is some fish and some peanuts.
Mm.
Eh?
Delightful. Perfect. Perfect meal.
Speaking of Asian cuisine, Phil, got any spice?
Spice, Pierre. My spice is that every kettle should, the standard kettles should have customizable temperatures on them. Because I've just got a brand new kettle, Pierre, that can boil to between 60 and 100 degrees.
What?
Any point. So it means that I'm not ruining my coffees with too hot water. There's a button for coffee, which is 95 degrees Celsius. I boil that, and straight away I can make my long black without waiting for the water to cool in my mug.
This is, I don't know if you heard, but the dishwasher went bah, in shock while you were saying this. That was that noise.
As promised in Wednesday's episode, that
clunk.
That dog has finally barked.
Yes, it's taken 2 days for it to clean so that one bowl, but it's worth it.
Chekhov's dishwasher.
So, okay, hang on. What? This?
You sound. It sounds like you disapprove. I can already tell, Pierre, that you disapprove of this kettle.
I don't think I disapprove, but I think it's. Is this? Do you think this is going to go the same way as your robot bin?
No, look, my robot bin was a terrible idea.
Your sitcom,
This is one of those hand wavy bins, which is a terrible idea because my robot. That's a sitcom for you.
Yeah.
My robot bin. It's a flawed design because you eventually run out of battery power pretty quickly, to be honest. Sure. The motors take up quite a lot of power. And you have to get into the most disgusting part of the bin to replace the battery. So it's a flawed idea.
Yeah, it was like if there was a battery pack for your toilet under the rim.
But there's no fundamentally flawed idea with this kettle. It's a good idea to be able to... And I flit mainly, it must be said, between the coffee and the boil settings, which is just 95 and 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And it goes bleep bloop when it's done.
And you weren't...
But I think it's just that much of a tweak that I need that has made it very helpful. It also sings a little song. It's Japanese, maybe? So it sings a little song.
It's got to be Japanese.
When it's done boiling.
Come on.
And you can hold temperature. You can press a button and it holds the temperature. And also, it's very pleasurable for me to listen to work because I studied control systems engineering, which is essentially exactly this thing. How do you get from 0 degrees to 95 degrees? And you can hear the kettle boil, and then when it gets to like 80-something degrees, it turns off, and then it boils again, and then turns off, and boils again until it gets to 95 degrees. And just knowing that this control system was designed, it's like nostalgic for me.
Now, okay, but what did you find to be wrong with it, the kettle boiling to 100 degrees, turning itself off, and you just waiting, 15 seconds?
Well, you waste the energy that you use boiling the water between 95 and 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And you waste time and you waste precision. Because I was just guessing the whole time whether or not the water was cool enough to ruin my coffee.
Try and answer this in as unbiased a way as possible. Have you noticed the difference?
Yes, I have.
Oh, no.
And even if I hadn't, I wouldn't admit
it. I was going to say, that's the whole problem with that question. I was hoping.
What I have noticed, Pierre, is that my coffee making is more efficient because I'm not standing around waiting for water to cool down. And if that is the only, it turns out to be the only benefit from it, it's been worth it.
Oh, God.
Also, my last kettle was starting to emit small black particles, so I needed a new kettle.
Whoa, you kept that quiet till the end there.
Yeah.
What?
I found little black flecks in them. I think it was just disintegrating a little.
What?
Yeah, a little black flecks. In the boiled water.
Of plastic?
I guess so. Oh. I don't know, something.
How?
I don't know. So it was an old kettle.
I mean, there's old and there's disintegrating. How old was the fucking thing? That's crazy. That's terrifying.
8 years? I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. But
what I don't like is that London is so full of limescale that the inside of every kettle looks like the fucking cave of dreams. It's all
I
like
know, it's terrible.
Stalactites in there. Stalagmites.
Yeah, that kind of ruined the last kettle too.
But also, like, it makes the kettle slower, but it also makes the kettle incredibly loud.
Ah.
So you boil water and it takes 10 minutes, and for 10 minutes, the kettle is like louder than the TV. Insanely loud.
Do you not use a descaler?
Yeah, I do, but like, you know.
I quite enjoy using the descaler. Looking in and all the bubbles, all the chemical transformations in there. It's very pleasurable.
This is the nerdiest series of things you've ever said.
I like the kettle a lot as an appliance. I find a lot of pleasure in the kettle.
I like the kettle a lot is a very funny... How do you find your place? Well, I like the kettle a lot. But you didn't say it like that. You said it like it was a person, and I think that's what made me laugh.
Come on, you're telling me you don't have a favorite appliance?
Favorite appliance.
Like on a personal level, not like this does the best job, this is the most advanced, the one that makes you feel the most at home.
I think my attitude to my appliances is the attitude of quite an embittered prison guard.
Mm.
These appliances, you know, even when they're behaving themselves, I need to keep a fucking eye on them.
Right.
Because my long career guarding this prison of appliances, Phil, there's been so many appliances that I thought were on good behavior. And then we did a bed check and there was fucking knives and heroin in there.
And there were riots. Has there ever been a riot, a prison riot of the appliances?
Yeah, when the oven started smoking, and a different oven. when the gas hob partially melted a handle on something.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. Or yeah, definitely. I think that I watch them like, okay, they're working for now. I'm so cynical about them.
Right, okay.
They're
on good behavior for now.
My favorite child was the dishwasher.
The dishwasher. I like the dishwasher.
Till I had to clean the filter.
Vile. Really gross. Really icky.
Really?
Well, I liked it until I found the gunk that builds up in sort of the crevices between the door, like the hinge and the door.
Yes,
and
yes.
Woof.
The black stink.
Woof.
Yeah. And you got to clear it all out. I once went full mental and I was like, I'm going to do this with a fucking toothbrush for hours. Like it's a punishment and I'm in the army or something. And I did it and it came back so quickly, Phil.
Right, there's no point.
It's so not worth it.
You're painting the Brooklyn Bridge over here.
Yeah, it's worth it when it's really bad, but there's a level of it where you just go, this is what a dishwasher is. Fine.
Okay, is this crackers, Pierre? Tell me if I'm... Am I, in the words of Reddit, am I the asshole?
Ah.
My cleaner, I love my cleaner. She's great. She's really funny. She's a very good cleaner. Except she's not very good with a dishwasher. She doesn't... There are things you don't put in a dishwasher.
Yes.
For one, wooden implements you do not put in a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And fine Japanese knives do not go in the dishwasher. In fact, knives at all, really, don't go in the dishwasher.
This episode, the spice is that you're Fraser Crane. You got a special kettle. Have you seen that Daphne's been putting my fine Japanese knives in the dishwasher?
Okay, but now there's a case for saying I'm being precious. But listen to this. Last time,
I think you're I think wonderful. I don't think you're being precious. I think you're right. I just think you're being correct at such a highfalutin level.
Well, the last time, let's call my cleaner B.
Yeah.
The last time B was in, I came home to find a finished dishwasher with one of my candle holders in the top.
Eh?
With a bit of stub of candle left in it, and wax that had melted during the cleaning process and had fallen through the various bits under it and was now sealed into the utensil tray, and there were bits of wax all over it.
Okay.
So B had put a candle holder.
Basically.
Not a candle, but a candle. Yeah, exactly. Candle. Plenty of candle left in it, and put it into the dishwasher to clean. Yeah.
That's
crackers.
That's Alzheimer's. That's like putting the cat in the dishwasher, isn't it? I would never look at a candle and go, that's filthy. That candle.
Yeah.
It needs to be melted in a box.
What I sort of think this is
odd.
Yeah. That was odd. And I've texted B saying, FYI, next time, don't bother with the dishwasher. Leave the dishwasher.
Don't worry. I scrubbed my own candles. Don't worry about it. Hey. Really nice of you.
You meant to wash candles in the sink.
Really nice of you to melt my candle in the dishwasher, but I do that myself.
I was scraping wax off of bits of my dishwasher. It was crazy.
That is... Was it just everywhere, like a coating stuff? Like, wax
there
is
was
hard.
Sort of like... There was like a blood trail from the, because you put it in the top shelf.
Yeah.
So there's a blood trail that it was melted that down into the utensil basket in the bottom and then into the floor of the dishwasher towards the drainer. So I cleaned up this sort of blood trail, as it were, of wax and wick. There's still wick in there. So
what?
It had reformed in the utensil basket. So there was basically a working candle in the bottom of the utensil basket. It was very odd.
This is such a weird mess that I genuinely, in my head, I quite like it as a piece of art.
There was something artistic about it.
I like it.
It was like
if you,
a Tracy Emin reimagining of the inside of a dishwasher or something, you know.
If you showed me a dishwasher on its own open in a gallery with a crazy, like, or like, the candle, it's still a candle because it has a wick in, but the wax is in a mad shape that the dishwasher's made itself. And then you light the candle, and so there's light coming from this box, and it's dark in the room. That's great.
Neat.
Turner Prize.
That's cool.
Turner Prize.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But as a means of cleaning my utensils and cutlery and plates, not ideal. So B is now off of dishwasher. I wonder if she's done this on purpose. To slowly minimize her responsibilities around the house.
She's going to put a saucepan through a window and say, now they're both clean. Saucepan is clean and the window is clean.
So that was a very... you know when you have to clean up a mess you never imagined in your life? I never imagined a mess like this.
Yeah, that's like a whole new type of mess.
Very new type of mess.
That is a good excuse as well. You could say to people, sorry, I'd love to come, but I've got to wash all my candles.
No.
I've got to give them a good scrub. We should do this VIPCO that we teased last week.
Yes, let's.
Last week, on Wednesday, whatever it is. Whatever, however it is that time works. If you're listening to this on Friday, by the way, tomorrow I'm doing an extra show at Soho Theatre. That Soho Theatre have convinced me to add, why not celebrate the resurrection of Christ, brackets impending, by going and seeing my second extra show due to popular demand at Soho Theatre.
Go, go, go. Show.
Go, go, go. Show. Okay. So, this is a message from, it's from No Context Bud Pod on Instagram.
Wonderful No Context Bud Pod. You must follow them on Instagram.
Really funny. And really a really nice and flattering way for me to remember some of the things that I've said.
Yes, yeah.
And that Phil has said. And that you guys have sent
and
in.
Me. It makes me realize this is actually quite a funny podcast.
No Context Bud Pod. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So No Context Bud Pod says, sorry to message you on Instagram. I can't figure out Patreon at this point. I'm too stubborn to find out. Fair enough. Currently listening to this week's bonus pod and the conversation about how English or British people for some reason have more of a need for behavior bonds than the rest of the world. Remember last week?
Yeah.
We were discussing yobbishness and if other countries have yobbishness and so on.
Yeah, totally.
In 2019 in New Zealand, it made national news that a British family was on holiday here and the entire news story was that they were assholes.
Oh, wow. I mean, that says a lot both about the smallness of New Zealand and the yobbishness of the British.
Yeah. They were kind of doing a top-to-bottom tour of the country, and every time they went to a new city, the news would report their asshole behavior and warn the next city that they were on their way.
Man, that's amazing. I've got to look this up. What kind of thing were they doing?
He also adds on, there was even a news story in 2022 when one of them died. So they're like keeping track of them.
Well, like celebrating.
I don't know. Just the fact that it made the news at all is amazing. New Zealand obsession with rowdy tourists. Yeah, there's a bunch of he, she, they has included lots of links. New Zealand's news has been dominated by a family of rowdy British holidaymakers this past week, and it hasn't gone unnoticed. A group of British tourists has been asked to leave New Zealand after they were reported for shoplifting, littering, threatening residents, and causing chaos.
I've seen this now. In the summer of 2019, New Zealand's media was captivated by the antics of a family of tourists from Britain who wreaked havoc wherever they went. The Nolan family made regular headlines for eating at restaurants without paying, littering pristine beaches, and threatening onlookers.
Yeah,
this, that would make the news in New Zealand.
There's pictures of the litter, and it is amazing. Like, it is just like fully dumping out a picnic just onto like some grass and leaving it. You forget that can happen.
One of my greatest pleasures of moving to the UK from Malaysia is that people understand litter is bad here.
Yeah.
It's way better in Malaysia now than it was, but I grew up with just litter everywhere. There was just no concept that these things would not biodegrade. And I think it's probably a common thing in societies that have only recently started using things that do not decompose.
Yeah.
But it was terrible, man. By moving to here, the first thing that struck me was just how clean the UK was. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, which you never hear from people who move to the UK, because it's not a message that British media likes to amplify, that things are good.
Yeah.
They always go, well, we found a Japanese guy who thought it was messy. And it's like, yeah, but apart from them.
Yeah, if it's only the Japanese you're upsetting, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Also, these tourists like skipped out on loads of restaurant bills and scamming restaurants and stuff.
A succulent Chinese meal.
Yeah. Oh man, and they got like convicted of theft and stuff. Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Is like my social theory of behavior is that so these guys were upsetting in one day. Like 300 people. Did I say this last week? My theory about like hell people.
Hell people?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So this one family upset in their single holiday, right? This one family upset, I mean what? 100,000 people indirectly at least?
This New Zealand British family.
This trip, yeah.
Yeah, terrorized the nation.
Yeah, so they terrorized the nation. They directly upset, like in person upset, what, like 20,000 people, 10,000 people who saw the litter or saw them in a restaurant. And they did like what I'm saying is it's unusual that we know it was one family. I think this happens all the time. And we just assume that like, oh, it can't be the same guy. No one would skip out on a restaurant bill for lunch and dinner. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's the same people.
Right,
I'm
so you
saying
think all this havoc.
I'm saying it's like 1 in 100 people is just crazy.
So are you saying that if we group together all the British people who have wreaked havoc abroad over the last year, the numbers would actually be smaller than we expected?
Yes, because it's the same people.
Right, yeah.
It's like serial killers. It's not that there's like 100 murderers. It's one guy who's murdering everyone. Do you know what I mean?
What's that rule of thumb someone told me about recently that once you know about, you keep seeing? It's like the 80-20 rule.
Baader-Meinhof, yeah, phenomenon. But for the 80-20 rule, yeah, 80% of the whatever...
is done by 20% of the people.
Yes, it's like 80% of the crime is like 20% of the people. And also like GPs spend 80% of their time with like 20 or 10% of their actual patients.
Right, and presumably 80% of the wealth sits with 20% of the people.
Yeah, there seems to be this kind of ratio.
Yeah, so maybe it's a similar ratio, 80%. But 20% of the UK is still a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah, but if we include antisocial behavior to be everything from going, oh, aye, outside a pub, all the way down to like GBH murder, armed robbery, then I think 20% is probably right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I sometimes wonder if maybe the government is sort of sending these splinter cells out to just ward people off moving to the UK.
Like stag do's are like a kind of anti-advert.
Yeah, they're the false flag operation or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. So the stag do's are
psyops.
The stag do's are psyops. And they're going around towns in Poland going, blah, this is what we're like. Blah, blah, blah.
This would be every day in Britain. Blah, blah, just remember that. Blah, blah, just think about that. This is every day where we're from. You won't have to deal with this temporarily here. Blah, 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 just remember that. Blah, blah, blah.
It's always going to be like this. Oi, oi, oi. I think that's it. I think that might be it.
I think we've stumbled upon a governmental conspiracy.
I like it.
It goes all the way to the top.
I want to see that in James Bond. Your mission, Bond, is to go and throw up all over Krakow Town Square. That's all you have to do. You have to do a load of ketamine and sexually harass the entire airport.
Yeah. God, it is so embarrassing.
I'm just going to check the... because that was on Instagram. Do follow No Context But Pod on Instagram. I'm just checking the...
and No Context But Pod is it a guy? Is it a gal?
We don't know.
No Context But Pod is shrouded in mystery, but they live in New Zealand. That's all we know.
I just think
it's nice that this account dedicated to us here in the UK is... literally on the other side of the globe. Isn't that sweet? Isn't the internet age an age of miracles?
It's true. Oh, Connor, this is... sorry, Connor, I don't think we said this, but Connor... Connor says, good evening, Pluppers. In episode 81, during the pre-Patreon epoch, you boys posited a tub pod, a Patreon-exclusive episode recorded in the bath.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that.
So, you know, are we any closer to this becoming a reality, basically? Connor signs off, Koji, the gruel of booze.
The gruel of booze.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, no, Tub Pod never became a reality, but something that's on the pin board for sure.
I think we can do Tub Pod. We just need a big enough tub.
We're going to need a bigger tub.
I think, well, that's all we got time for now.
That's all we have time for. But thank you, No Context Bad Pod. Thank you to Patreons. Go see Pierre at Soho Theatre. Check out my cameo in Three Body Problem. It's a really good show. I'm really hooked. I'm watching beyond my appearance, which is the reason I started. Yeah. Yeah, that's how much I like it. I don't even care that I'm not in it anymore. I just like the show. But otherwise, see you next time. Love you lots.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.